Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study that we began last time on the two trees. And when we speak of the two trees, we were talking about, first of all, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was planted by God in the Garden of Eden. And we compared it or contrasted with the tree that Jesus Christ was crucified on in the garden. He was crucified, the scriptures tell us, in a garden, an unnamed garden, amen. Now what we want to do today is continue our study and look at some similarities, amen, between these two trees. The first similarity we want to look at is both trees were planted in a garden. Both trees were planted in a garden. The first is in the Garden of Eden, and the second tree was planted in a garden which is unnamed. And we read about that in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and in verse number 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, amen. So we see that the tree, we saw that the cross of Calvary is also referred to as a tree in the scriptures, was also planted in a garden. Are we not told this for one reason? In order that we should connect the two trees. Is it not a striking point of analogy that both the first Adam and the last Adam, which Christ is referred to in the scriptures, they both died in a garden, amen. So we see then the first similarity between the two trees was both trees were planted in a garden. Now, the second similarity between the two trees is in connection with both trees. We find the words, in the midst, in the midst. In Genesis chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, in verse number 9, Genesis 2, 9, we read, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." We see the word "and" connecting the two trees together and suggests their juxtaposition in the midst of the garden. In like manner, we also read concerning our Savior, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. In John chapter 19, we read in regarding our Savior in John chapter 19, in verse number 18, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and here it is, Jesus in the midst. So we see then, in connection with both trees, we find the words in the midst. Now the third similarity we want to look at is both trees of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Both trees are both the trees of the knowledge of good and evil. Where in all the world or in all the scriptures do we learn the knowledge of good and evil as we do at the second tree, the cross? There, first we see goodness incarnate. There we behold the holiness of God displayed as nowhere else. There we discover the unfathomable love and matchless grace of deity unveiled as never before or since. But there too we also see evil. in all its native hideousness. There we witness the consummation and climax of the creature's wickedness. There we behold, as nowhere else, the vileness. Amen. The awfulness of sin, the heinousness of sin, as it appears in the sight of the holy God. Yes, there is a design resemblance as well as a contrast between the two trees. The cross also is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Fourth, as we look at similarities, and finally, as we're looking at the similarities, there is another tree beside the one that was planted in Eden, of which Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 is true. It says this, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, in a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." Now that second tree is surely good for food too. The cross of Christ and all that it stands for is the very meat and marrow of the believer's life. Amen. It is good as food for the soul. How pleasant it is to the eyes of faith. There we see all our sins blotted out. There we see our old man is crucified. There we see the ground upon which a holy God can meet a guilty sinner. There we see the finished work of our adorable Redeemer. Truly, it is pleasant to the eyes. And is not this second tree also a tree to be desired to make one wise? Yes, the preaching of the cross is not only the power of God, but the wisdom of God as well. The knowledge of this second tree makes the sinner wise unto salvation. Amen. So we've looked at, so far, some contrasts of the two trees. And we've just looked at some similarities between the two trees. Now, the third thing I want to see in our study on the two trees is this. Is scriptures in which a tree figures prominently. First, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, we learn that the tree is linked directly with the curse. Amen. The curse on man and women and creation. Look at in Genesis chapter 3 with me as we go back to Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, look with me in verse number 17. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." In the light of this, how significant are the following passages? In Genesis chapter 40, we have recorded the dreams of the two men who were in prison with Joseph. Notice what Joseph said when interpreting the baker's dream. We have to turn to Genesis chapter 40 and verse 19 to see this. In Genesis chapter 40, in verse number 19, we read this. He says, "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee." Amen. Again, we're seeing a tree, scriptures, and with a curse, the tree is seen as a place of the curse. Amen. Then we see in Joshua chapter 8, if you'll turn there with me, in Joshua chapter 8, we read in verse number 29 the following, Joshua 8:29. "And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joseph commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heaps of stone that remaineth unto this day." Amen. Again, we see that the king of Ai, he was cursed. He was hung on a tree. Amen. And then we read, amen, in the book of Esther. Look with me in the book of Esther, if you would. Esther chapter number 2. In Esther chapter 2, look with me in verse number 23 of Esther 2. "And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king." Amen. So we see that the tree here in these verses is seen as the place of the curse. What striking illustrations are these of what we find in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians, with me. Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. We read this in the Word of God. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." See, for the curse to be removed, amen, Christ was made a curse for us, and he hung on that tree. We should have been up on that cross, amen. But he hung up on that cross instead for you and for me. The second thing, the tree is seen as a place where rest is found. The tree is seen as a place where rest is found. Look with me in Genesis chapter 18. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, we want to look together at the first four verses of Genesis 18. And here's what we read. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre," talking about Abraham. "And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet," and here it is, and rest yourselves," where? "Under the tree." Now, how suggestive are the last words of this quotation? Why should we be told that Abraham invited his three visitors to rest under the tree? Unless there is some typical meaning to his words. Amen? Well, the tree, as we have seen, speaks of the cross of Christ. And it is there that rest is to be found. You know, as I think about that, I cannot help but think about what Jesus said, amen, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. So if someone wants true rest, amen, spiritual rest, the only place that it can be found is at the foot of the cross or the tree. Amen. That Christ was hung on. He invites each and every one of us to come unto me, to him. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me tell you, if you're lost without Christ, amen, you are laboring and are heavy laden under your sins, amen. But you can find rest, you can unload all that burden right at the foot of the cross, amen. Christ wants you to come and to come to him. Amen. Now, also we want to see that the tree is seen as the ground of communion or fellowship with God. For that, to see that, we need to go back to Genesis 18, chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, look in verse number 8. Genesis 18, verse 8. Talking about Abraham again. "And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree." There's the tree again. "And they did eat." See, eating, my friend, is a symbol of communion. And it was under the tree these three men ate. So it is the cross of Christ, which is the basis and ground of our fellowship with God. So you cannot have fellowship with God, amen, unless you first come to the cross at Calvary to find it. Because the Bibles tell us that we, those without Christ, need to be reconciled to Christ, or reconciled to God through Christ, amen? That's the only way that you and I can have fellowship, amen, with God the Father is through God the Son. And the only way we can obtain that and no longer be enemies of God the Father is to come to the cross of Calvary, amen? And praise the Lord for that, that anyone can come. There's always room at the cross for one more. There'll always be room at the cross. There's plenty of room at that cross. If you've never come, what a better time than right now to come to the cross. Amen. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. And receive Jesus Christ by faith into your heart. Then you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. They'll be remembered no more. Amen. You'll secure a home in heaven. And you'll have fellowship with God. But it can only be obtained at the cross. How striking, too, the order. First, rest under the tree. And then eating our fellowship. Amen. You have to come to the cross, get your rest, unload your burdens, unload your sins there at the cross. Amen. The things that have been weighing you down, those sins. Amen. And then you'll have fellowship with God. What a blessing. Amen. The tree is seen also as the principle of action to the daily life of the believer. Now notice in Exodus chapter 15 with me. In Exodus chapter 15, in verses 23 through 25. Now it reads, the word of God says this. And when they came, this is the children of Israel in the wilderness, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. What's the people's reaction? As usual, 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he, this is Moses, cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shewed him a tree, there it is, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Amen. Here again, the tree typifies the cross of Christ and the Christ of the cross. It was our blessed Lord who, by going down into the place of death, sweetened the bitter waters for us. Just as Moses put that tree in the water there at Marah and made them sweet, so it would be, the water would be drinkable, amen, and refresh the people, amen. The same way, our Lord, our blessed Lord, by going down into the place of death, he took our place, amen. He took our place, so we don't have to experience hell. He went to hell for us, amen. That's where he was 3 days and three nights, in the heart of the earth. He sweetened the bitter waters for us. Amen. He got victory over the grave. He took sting out of death. Amen. And you know what? We can do the same thing today. Whatever situation you're going through. And I know Christians like to make believe, oh, I don't have any problems. I never go through anything like that. Please rip off the mask. You're a human being. We all go through. Amen. Pastors, missionaries. Amen. Anyone serving the Lord goes through trials and tribulations. But you know what? Those bitter experiences, amen, can be made sweet if you'll just apply that tree, that cross of Calvary, to those situations. Amen? See, it's only as the believer applies practically the principle of the cross to his daily life that the marahs of our wilderness experience are transformed into waters that are made sweet. That's why the Christian can have the joy of the Lord when he's going through something. Because Jesus Christ can make his bitter experiences sweet ones. Amen. We forget sometimes when we get caught up in our emotions and our feelings that we have Christ. Christ is right there. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is omnipresent. He's right there with you. And you need to apply him in your daily walk. It doesn't have to be bitter. It can be sweet. Because you have Christ. Amen. And just as Moses took, amen, that tree at Marah, put it in the water, made the water sweet and drinkable, so God will make this life sweet to you. Amen. because you have his dear son. Amen. So we've seen some things again. Amen. As we look at this, to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings and to be made conformable unto his death is the highest Christian privilege. Sufferings and death. People don't like, a lot of Christians, they don't want to even talk about that. But that's what it's all about, to enter the fellowship of his sufferings and to be made conformable unto his death is the highest Christian privilege, amen. That's right. And how remarkable is the order, the progressive orders of these passages that we just read. First, we saw the tree is seen as a place of the curse. Second, the tree is seen as a place where rest is found. Third, the tree is seen as the ground of communion or fellowship with God. And then fourth, the tree is seen as the principle of action to apply to the daily life of the believer. Amen. So we see then, again, we looked at today at some similarities between the two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree, the cross at Calvary, that Christ was crucified on. We saw four similarities, amen. Both trees were planted in a garden. As I brought out earlier, Christ was crucified in a garden, that we read that in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 41. And then we see in the connection with both the trees, we find the words in the midst. Amen. Christ was crucified on that cruel tree that was in the midst of the two thieves. And we see that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of there in the Garden of Eden. Then the third similarity we saw were both are trees of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. We see both good on the cross at Calvary. We see goodness incarnate. We see God's love, his unfallible and love and matchless grace of deity unveiled as never seen before on that cross. And we also see the consummation, the wickedness, amen, of the creature's wickedness, of man's wickedness, amen. Then finally we saw that not only was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil good for food, amen, but so isn't the cross of Christ good for food, amen. Pleasant, the finished work of our Savior on that cross is truly pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, because the preaching of the cross is not only the power of God but the wisdom of God as well. And the knowledge of the second tree makes a sinner wise unto salvation. And then we looked at some scriptures in which a tree figures prominently. We saw it was a place of a curse. It's a place of rest. It was a ground of fellowship or communion with God. Then seen as the principle of action to the daily life of the believer. I hope you've been blessed with this study on the two trees. And this is Pastor Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you once again for joining me today on the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is for each and every one of you that God would richly bless you, and good day.